matter what people say, we got it going on. Who cares about what they think?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beats,
spazzle,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of According to RP. It's your girl, Rita Pierre here, your host. And today we have the amazing Rich Vision as our guest. Hello, Rich. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for the opportunity. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I realized my mic was a little far here, so want to ensure the quality for the listeners. But Rich, again, thank you so much for taking the time to be here today to talk about, you know, your platform, you know, your music. I know there's a lot of things you are doing out here in these streets. And so I want to get into all of it. But if you could just first start off by sharing with all of us, you know, outside of just who you are, but I want to talk about your journey and what led you to, you know, intertwine your music and this theme of mental health.
Yes, absolutely. When I first started in my musical endeavors, a lot of the music that I was writing was basically braggadocious. So it's definitely a different style than what I'm writing and performing now. Mm-hmm. So what really changed for me is knowing that I wasn't being my authentic self. And I was playing the carbon copy rather than stepping into my true self. And I also realized that coming from a background where music was so prevalent and that braggadocious rap style, I was projecting that in my music when that wasn't really me. And what I realized after the fact that I put out my first EP in 2015, I realized that, wait a minute, is that me or was that someone else? So I started to develop this identity crisis during that time. And what really helped fast track me into getting into my own, seeing myself as a more self-reflective, conscious rapper was when one of my friends introduced me to a rapper named NF. He does a lot of mental health music. And I started listening to his music and it really changed my perspective on my music also. And I'm like, wow, he's really being honest and raw. And I'm like, wow. And I started listening to a lot of these artists and I'm like, wow, there's something about this music that is very cathartic, therapeutic, but also feels like it's coming from them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not something that I feel like, you know, they're telling someone else's story, you know. So for me, I started to still really study my craft and also study a lot of the artists in the field that were established. And I started coming up with this identity for myself, if you will. And I realized that, wait a minute, I can be honest about what I'm going through without filtering. And once I dropped my single and the stigma, everything really changed for me in that mental health sphere, because it really was telling of like the type of music I feel like that is in line with what I was going through at the time. I was going through a lot of stuff, mental health scares, and that really brought me to a realization that my music is more than just words. It's power, it's enlightenment, it's encouragement for other people who are going through those same demons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I met you, I think it was last month at an open mic in Brooklyn, right? And that's where we first got introduced and you performed, you know, two of your songs. And I felt like the crowd really felt, you know, your message, felt what you had to share. Because it's not really often that we find people, especially Black men, right, that are talking about mental health issues. And it's not very often that we find rappers, musicians really dedicate their platform, in a sense, to that cause. So I want to kind of backtrack a little bit just to get kind of a better understanding of like where you're from, you know, like, you know, a little bit more about who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from BX, but I reside in Brooklyn. And what was interesting about me is like I wanted to be a journalist before even like rapper. So and I don't think that's so far off. You know what I mean? Because it deals with, you know what I mean, the writing and the creative brain. So I was very into writing when I was in high school, and I'm just like, oh, I want to be a writer. And I started listening to, you know, I started looking at a lot of these artists, and, you know, I was thinking, how do I use that writing creativity part of me and turn into something that's musical? Because I was very into music back then as well. Mm-hmm. So it, I don't know, I just felt like everything was just in alignment. I was working on poetry, you know, got to spoken word, dabbled in that, and it's just sort of expanding my horizons. Okay. From there.
Okay, cool. So how did you come up with the name Rich Vision?
That's actually a great question. Not a lot of people ask me that. So I was working with a mentor of mine for 4 years, and last year we decided to do a hard rebrand on my social media and everything in regards to how I was gonna come out and from being on a hiatus. So when we had our meeting, an A&R meeting, we discussed like, okay, about having the rap name Rich So Fresh wasn't really fitting if I was doing a rebrand. Like everything has changed. So I guess to change, rather. So when we spoke about the rebrand face-to-face ritual, and we realized that the name was indicative of, like, the whole braggadocious style and the identity that came with that at the time. So for us, we were playing around with names. We were thinking, like, I was thinking like visionary, we were thinking of maverick, like things that really associate with who I am as a person and will represent me to the best of, you know, of my ability. Like the representation of me will be fitting. And once we started with names, I was like, oh, Rich Visionary. And then she was like, oh no, Rich Vision. I was like, oh, and I just clicked. And then, you know, we made sure that nobody had the name and everything before we settled on a name. But it just felt so good. Like, I felt like a glove. Like, it made sense, like, me having this big picture vision of, like, who I want to be as an artist and desire to be. And also was indicative of the type of goals that I had. Like, she saw me as, like, a big thinker. Mm-hmm. As a healer, and she also felt like I did have the vision for, you know, the music that I wanted to come out with. Like, I was thinking about, like, oh, you know, what's next for me, you know, in my endeavors. And she saw that in my writing as well, like very forward thinking.
Okay. Yeah, I love that name. When I first saw it, I was like, who is that person? Like, who is this individual?
Yeah, thank you. It wasn't by myself, so I can't take all the credit, but I do pay, you know, homage for this, that conversation, because it did spark a lot of, it did really stir a lot of the fuel, in a sense, to get back in the game, because, you know, that old name brought so much, you know what I mean? It did bring a little bit of a baggage and what I thought was acceptable at the time, I thought being cocky and being conceited was the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to be honest, that was my identity for a very long time. So for me to detach was something that I felt like was me, even though it wasn't me, was very difficult for me. It was very difficult because I didn't want to let go of it, you know? Even after, I was still, you know, am I really, you know what I mean? Am I going through, what do you call it, imposter syndrome?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's still me, but at the same time, but she also said to me, like, even though that name is not your name now, it's just like, still, you still bring him with you. That's not just, you just can't just like, okay, throw him to the side. Like he's like, you know, hors d'oeuvres.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's still a part of you. So let him be a part of you, but still walk in your rich vision power.
Right, right. Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like a lot of creatives, a lot of musicians do deal with this imposter syndrome to an extent. Because like you said, like especially with hip hop, with rap, there is this idea that there's this one persona that exists, right? You have to be this cocky, hard, braggadocious individual. And I see that there is kind of a shift away from that narrative now. People are now owning who they are and saying, you know, I can still be this way and still be a rapper. Like, I don't need to carry on this, like, persona, this narrative in order to qualify as a rapper. So, you know, I really commend you for being able to detach yourself from that because it's really hard. And I think that those who are coming up in this game, right, this hip hop rap game, this music game in general, I think that they'll appreciate that, that, you know, you can be your authentic self and still do what you love. So I really commend you for that.
Thank you.
So I really want to get into more of the mental health aspect, right? Because that's really what I think attracted me to you when you came forward and you performed. I was like, this is really deep stuff. And again, coming from a Black male in our community, you know, being bold enough to really have these honest conversations and using music as a platform to share, I think was just really amazing for me. And so, you know, mental health is a very complex and sensitive subject, right? People tend to, you know, they're very sensitive, as you know, it could be understood, right? But how do you approach writing your lyrics to ensure that they're being impactful, but also respectful? Because it's like you want to touch on certain things, but you also want to be mindful in a sense to not maybe overly trigger.
Yes. Wow, that's a powerful question because I dealt with that recently, to be honest with you, with my next batch of songs, because it is dealing with deeper material than the first EP, than the EP I just dropped a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also realizing that, like, it's hard in a sense to censor because it's so... Because it's like, I don't, like, my desire is not to stigmatize it or to make it seem like it's, like, to water down my message.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still wanted to hit people, like, this is what mental health is, struggle is. It's not something that you could really, it's not like I said, one of my songs, it's not like a button, you can't press it on and off. It's right. Like... it's really the real deal. Like when someone's struggling with mental health, you can hear it in the music.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fluff. You know what right. I mean? And that's the thing about my music. It's like a fine line where I'm like, okay, when it comes to writing, I'm like, I'm going to tell it how it is. Like even in a couple of my songs, I was like, you know, I had mental health scares. Like I wanted to swallow lead. I straight set up. And there were times I'm like, I don't know if this is too much, but I'm like, I have to, because it's like, at the same time, it's like, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't really hide mental health struggle if it's something that you've been through firsthand. Like, I speak from a true experience. When I go through something, I write it down, and it's like, that's how I heal. So if I expect other people to enjoy my music, it's gonna be like all of me. You're gonna get the good, you're gonna get the bad, you're gonna get the ugly, and it might not be for everyone, you know what I mean? And it's like, if I continue to censor myself, I might push somebody's buttons, then I can't step into my true authentic power and my you know what I mean, who God has called me to become. You know what I mean? I felt like I put the facade, you know, for so long, this gangster rapper. I wasn't even that. So it's like for me now to say I'm in my power, my superpower, and I'm saying exactly how I feel. You know what I mean? It's hard to. There's times I do struggle with that too, because I'm like, you know what I mean? But there is moments where I'm just like, I definitely can't say that. You know what I mean? Because it's just like, it's a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. But I also know that there's times I'm just like, okay, I have to say this because, you know, it's not for me, it's for someone else. You know what I mean? So right. There's times I detach from like, okay, what am I really saying? And how is this going to help someone to say, I'm still enough. I've always been enough. And I'm going to still fight for my life. Yeah. That's a lot of my music is really fight for your life and fight for your purpose and that you are worthy, regardless of what people say on the outside. Like that inner self-talk is so important, especially nowadays.
Yeah. And it's so important, you know, because you mentioned about being your authentic self. And I think that censoring yourself to an extent can cause you to be inauthentic, right? And like you said, a lot of times, especially as creatives, you know, we pour so much into our craft. And so we have a connection and we have a tie to it, a sensitivity, you know, when it comes to our craft. But a lot of times, you know, even though we're creating it, we're not creating it for ourselves per se, we're creating it for others. And I think, you know, when you talk about your struggles and you talk about the real life, you know, struggles that you're dealing with when it comes to mental health, when you're being real about suicide, something that seems to still be taboo within our community to talk about, you know, you never know who is listening and who was where you were, or who is, you know, who is where you are or whatever, you know, it's like a tongue tie, but you never know who might be experiencing what you're sharing, like in that moment. So to some people, it could be jarring. Like, I can't believe he said that. This is too much, but it could be just enough for someone else who's in a very dire situation. So I understand, like, there is this balance sometimes, but I think, you know, you said, you know, earlier that, you know, this is something you're called to do. So this is more, it's not a passion project, right? This is
right
for you.
Yes.
So I definitely agree with you to that extent where there are times like you have to just give it raw because you don't know who might need that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. That's so true.
Yeah. So can you walk me through your creative process, right? Because again, you make music, but this is kind of like heavy topic stuff, right? This is not like what they call bubblegum music. It's not always feel good music. This is like real life, real life issues, real life, like sometimes people might even say like trauma that is being kind of like shared and expressed. So what is this creative process? How do you, you know, start to conceptualize your music, your songs that address these themes of like mental health?
Yeah, that's a great question. The way I do it is most times I'm really like in my room and I'm just mulling over instrumentals and, you know, like I have a certain type of sound that I look for that's cinematic, and a lot of my music is that sound. So a lot of the times when I'm really in my room and I'm really like meditating on a song, I put on a beat and I just go like spiritual, you know what I mean? I just go and like whatever comes out, and like I start freestyling. A lot of my music really comes from a lot of my freestyles, and I'll just like riff on something. I'll see a title and I'll go off of that title and I'll come up with a hook, all just looking at the title, and it's just like it will just flow and flow. And then like sometimes I'll like use the lyrics, or sometimes different flows. I'll just like, oh, I like this flow. And then I'll like record it on a memo sometimes if I don't have like the computer set up with the mic. And then I'll just like really flow with it. And then there's times when I'll just like from beginning to end, like I'll freestyle like the song, find out what flow I like from the freestyles. And then I'll drag them in my program. And I'm like, I like this flow, I like this flow, and then I chop it up, and then I'll work on, like, the hook is, like, the first thing I work on, so I'm like, nail this hook first, and then once I get the hook down, I'm like, okay, then I do the verses. But a lot of the time, I really write first,
mm-hmm,
before I even look into, like, what beat I want, because, like, if I have, like, the concept already written down, I already know sonically what I desire. Mm-hmm. So, because I'm like, okay, it's a dark song, so I need something dark, cinematic piano. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I already know how to base off the production based on the lyric. I don't do it opposite. I usually do lyric first, then I look for a beat, and then once I find the beat, I freestyle a little bit, find a flow that I like, and then I'm like, okay, cool. So once I find a flow, I start like, okay. I start going back into the lyrics, like, oh, this is fit. Oh, it doesn't fit. Okay, cool. This line. And so I'm like reworking the song really into the studio. Like, I work the song. Like, mm-hmm, sometimes I'm changing lyric to, like, studio time. Like, I'm always after the lyric, because my idea of a great song is, like, it's not finished until it's finished.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I could, that stamp of, like, okay, I said what I had to say, and I left it all on the field. You know what I mean? That's how I approach my creative process, because that's what it is. It's really taking, like, the skeleton idea of, like, okay, and the stigma, and then it's like, okay, what's the concept? Okay, mm-hmm, why do you feel this way? Dig deeper. And once I got that core message, I'm like, okay, how do I say what I want to say? Like, because that's the thing about me. It's like, I always have real talk in my lyrics, but what I won't do in my songs is I won't leave people stranded. So what I mean by that is, like, I'm not going to say I'm in a dark space and I'm like, I'm just there and I'm not out of it. I'm like, no, I'm in a dark space, but I'm on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing also. So I also keep in mind that my lyric too first, because I'm like, I want to say how I feel. I want to tell people this is my struggle, and this is something that you may or may not relate to, but this is what I'm going through, and this is how I overcome it.
Right.
So that's what gives people, like, the, oh, you know what I mean? Like, the, oh, okay, I understand. You know what I mean? It's not always this dark. There's some light at the end of the tunnel too, you know?
I like that, because I think sometimes people, that's what they really are looking for, right? Like, we know that these issues exist. Like, I'm dealing with it, but they want to be able to hear that it's been overcome. Mm. So I think that is really powerful to be able to provide that, because there are a lot of musicians out there that do kind of leave you, like, on this, like, cliffhanger, right? You're not really sure, like, how to process what's going on. And there's, funny enough, there's a couple of artists that come to mind where I'm just like, you know, I'm not sure what the goal of the song was. Maybe it was just for them to put it out. Maybe it wasn't to be an aid to others, right? But I think that's, for me, that I see that's what's different with your music, is that it's a guide as well. It's not an entertainment piece per se, but it's really kind of like some sort of tool. So I think that's what's really cool and unique about, you know, your music and your lyrics. So
thank you.
So I want to talk about the challenges, right? I know we touched a little bit on that earlier, but I guess what is the most challenging aspect of creating music that speaks to these experiences of mental abuse and how you've overcome it? Because it's one thing to be able to just, like, kind of just talk about it, right? I know we talked about the balance of maybe society versus being authentic, but Is there another challenge that you face with respect to this aspect?
Wow. Another great question. I experience a lot of, in a sense, anxiety, performance anxiety, when I decided to come out with this record. I remember the first time I decided to actually step on stage again after 8 year hiatus, I was like, wow, like this is, you know, a long time coming. And also, I also felt very, I was terrified. Like because it's like the music again is, like I said, it's not fluff, it's heavy.
Right.
Heavy. So when I first did the End of Stigma, I was bawling. I was like a mess. And I was like, whew. And then once I got out of it, I'm like, I want to go home. Like, it's really that deep. Like, I get so exhausted when I perform these songs. And a lot of people don't realize that because they see me on the stage with this energy and they're just like, oh, wow. And they don't know behind the scenes. I'm just like this. I don't want to talk to nobody. And it's like, and I just want to go home. So people don't see that. And I'm just being transparent. Like, I'm just like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I would rather go home right now because they don't know what this being, this releasing that, what that does to me. Right. You know what I mean? It's a drainer. And I'm not saying that as a negative comment or anything. I'm just saying also because it came from a deep place in my head, I'm still reliving it.
Right.
Even though it was in the past, like, there's times, even times I perform recently, like I'll either get choked up in the middle of a performance or I'll just break down, like crying. Like I had I performed at one of my favorite venues in Astoria. And when I performed, I made peace with my past. It was still a new song. I haven't really performed it a lot. So I was still nervous to perform it. And I went and performed it and I literally like broke down, like crying. And then one of my, the hosts, he was like, you need a hug. And he just held me you know what I mean? Like that brotherly love, like you're going to be okay. Cause it's like, again, it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people see the performance. They don't see the kind of like what the behind the scenes of what it took, you know, to make the song and actually put it out there and the healing it took to be able to come to the point of being able to actually speak about it versus I'm going to keep it in my notebook. You know what I mean? Because it's a different dynamic. It's a different story when it comes to writing something on paper than to say, okay, this is on paper. Then it's like studio. Then it's like performance.
Right.
You know, it's like three different levels and also three different mentalities.
Yeah.
In a sense, it's elevating. And that's like the biggest challenge for me is being able to just like say that I wasn't okay at that moment. Because again, I'm in front of strangers, so I'm always attempting to put my best foot forward with the music in hopes that it will touch someone. But it also times I felt like, man, am I doing too much? Am I being too emotional? Like, it's not a gimmick, but you know what I mean? But I also felt like, you know what I mean? It's a lot, you know what I mean? It's like when someone who's a positive artist, you want to like still be that for people without breaking down. But then I also realized, like, you know, this is real music, so it's like it's gonna touch people, it's gonna affect people. Like I had a performance the other day and one of the girls was like, can I just hug you right now? I'm like, wow, thank you. And then she was like, your lyrics made me cry. And I'm like, wow. So it's like you never know how your music is gonna touch people. So I just, like, you know what, I receive everything. Because at the same time, it's like when mental health is so prevalent right now, it's like we need that space to be able to just like let it go in a sense and release it and then have people like kind of like, you know what I mean? Receive it back, you know what I mean? And really take, you know, take heed to the messages and really like feel that you're saying something that is what they're being said and that they could find solace in their own struggles as well, which is the reason why I do it.
Right. Yeah. And that's so important. Like you said, there's this performance anxiety that a lot of people don't talk about. But I think especially with this topic, it's mental health is such a heavy topic. And, you know, being a witness to your performances, you are very high energy, right? But the things that you're talking about, like the realities that you are sharing, you know, it's like you're clutching your pearls, like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. like this is a lot. And it's like, as an audience member, you're just like, wow, like this person's sharing like these real details, these, you know, these traumatic details in some senses, right? And so it's like you said, it's like you're reliving, even though you're on the other side, the, you know, because you're performing these lyrics, you're performing, you know, your past, right? It's like constantly there. So I understand where the draining feeling would, you know, would come about, because it's a heavy, heavy topic. And, you know, for those, you know, who will be, you know, listening to this show, definitely, you know, I'm going to give you an opportunity to plug in End the Stigma, but mm-hmm. it was a real heavy song. It was a real heavy and powerful piece, because you really went into like the suicidal ideations. You went into, you know, and then even before you performed, you kind of gave like a little bit of a background how, you know, there was a point where you were going to take your life. And so these are not necessarily like feel good topics, you know. And as you being the performer, you know, one can only imagine the amount of stress you might have been under, you know, again, because it's art, right? We're always very sensitive about how it will be received. So I totally understand where you're coming from when you say that, you know, this is a draining experience. And I think that for those who are tuning in, they won't see it as like a negative, but just the realities of being an artist that is being conscious, right? And just really presenting, you know, the truth to the world. That's one criticism that I've heard from others with respect to, you know, the community that we're currently living in, right, which is we're in New York City, is that although there seems to be a lot of conversation around mental health, there really isn't a lot of real work being done around mental health. And so I'm curious, as an artist who focuses on mental health awareness and such, what are your thoughts with respect to how you think our community is handling such a serious topic?
I would say we're getting better mm-hmm. in that regard, because, you know, I remember going to an event last year. It was a big mental health festival in one of the parks out here in New York. And it was like so many people congregating for this one, you know, festival. And I was very intrigued by it because of the fact that the focus was mental health. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, going outside, you know, for a pair of the new J's.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like mental health. And there must have been like 100 people or so in that park. It was like, wow. And I was just like so intrigued because, you know, I don't see this often. I see it for everything else people stand in line for. I don't see people standing in line for, I want to see a mental health, you know what I mean? Like actual event catered to mental health. So I'm like, okay, we're definitely doing better, because like, That festival really changed me in regards to, like, I see that the work in real time, you know what I mean? Like, in person, that, you know, there's so many resources now. Like, you know, I mentioned even one of the ladies who was, I want to say... part of a band that passed away. I think it was Linkin Park. The lead singer, I believe, passed.
Mm-hmm.
And then his wife was there, and then she spoke about how she wished there was something like this when he was going through it. And I'm like, oh wow, you know what I mean? That sat with me, you know what I mean? Because at the same time, it's like, who would have known?
Right.
We will get this far, and you know, in the space now where there's so many places now that are facilitating all over the world, really. Like, I'm going to rent by this, like, mental health, that this, you know, virtual this, virtual that, in person. And I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? It's like, I wish I could go all over. Because mm-hmm. it's just, like, so much knowledge. And it's so, like, it makes, like, my heart full. Because of the fact that, like, I'm so glad that we're up to the point where, at this time, there's resources available. Before, it was not such a thing. So I'm grateful that now we're advancing in that regard. And I'm also grateful that we can actually speak about it without being shunned upon, because it's also artists that go through it too.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So.
Okay. So, you know, every artist, for the most part, I would say, hopes that their listeners walk away with something, right? They hope for there to be a takeaway from their music. So what message do you hope, you know, your listeners take away from your music? You know, specifically, you know, since you have this platform and you have this direct messaging, what is it that you want people to walk away from?
That to never give up, that they are enough, and they have power, you know, to change that narrative. Mm-hmm. Like, the pen is in your hands, not anyone else's hands. So just reclaim your power and your purpose, because you're so worth it. You're so worth the time, and you're so deserving to be here. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's why my encouragement to anyone who's watching, if they feel like they're not enough, I want to tell you, you know, straightforward, that you are enough to be here. And, you know, I feel, you know, that God would not continue waking you up if you didn't have a purpose.
Right.
So that's my heart to use, like, to never give up on yourself, to always keep striving, even though you may be hurting. It's not forever. And there are so many people willing to help you to reach the other side, like I did. And I had people hold space for me when I couldn't hold space for myself. So please don't give up on yourself, and please continue to strive.
Okay. And as you're saying that, I also am curious as to what message do you have for those in the community who serve as, like, the family, the friends, the support systems of individuals who are dealing with mental health, right? Because our society has a reputation of not being so nice. We can be cruel, especially when it comes to individuals who are dealing with mental health concerns. And sometimes our reactions to them, you know, what commentary or whatever, can be what triggers individuals to go over the edge. So I think, you know, we need a lot more empathy in our community when it comes to mental health. Not everybody is being too much. Not everyone's acting extra. People really are going through things. So what message do you have for those who are not currently dealing with any mental health concerns? Mm. How, you know, what message would you give to them in terms of, you know, showing more empathy and really just, you know, being true support systems?
Well, I would say, I will say to give grace, because, again, it's very, I'll put it blunt, you know, you don't know how it feels until you go through it.
Mm-hmm.
So always put yourself in someone else's shoes.
Right.
And I know that's cliche, but it's true. Like, you know, I can't tell someone, you know, oh, don't be depressed and stuff like that if I've never been depressed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like we have to also, like you said, have empathy. We also have to, you know, have grace, because at the same time, it's like we could only imagine what that feels like to have someone go through those moments and those trials and tribulations that are trying.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, you know, just to be kinder also, to be kind, because we live in a society where being vindictive and evil is so prevalent. And it's so, you know, and it's on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my goal, you know, is for us to change that dynamic, to change that narrative, so that we can be examples to our children. You know what I mean? If we have children or not, just to be role models for other people. Like, because at the same time, it's like if people see us doing better, then they will want to do better.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like each one teach one. So it's like, if you know, like, oh, someone's going through a hard time, let me be there with them and console them. Like, I'll give you a real example because I like to be very practical. Mm-hmm. So what saved my life really was when I went through mental abuse with the mentor, one of my Zoom friends said, let's watch this movie together. And the movie was Your Reality. I didn't know that it was a gaslighting film. So when we saw it together over Zoom, I'm like, what is she telling? You know, like, what is she insinuating? Because I didn't know what gaslighting was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, this is what it is. Oh, so the mentor was saying that, but said this, but really was saying that. Oh, okay. So I started to do more homework.
Mm-hmm.
Because to be honest with you, like, I was literally like on my last lifeline. Like, I literally wanted to like commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, because I didn't feel worthy when I was having a conversation with her in regards to the mental abuse I was dealing with someone else with. And I didn't even know, like, that conversation was mentally abusive also.
Yeah.
So I didn't know until, like, I was confiding in her and in attempts that she would kind of, like, alleviate the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That mental trauma. And then she was kind of, like, enforcing it in a sense of, like, saying, oh, I'm over-exaggerating. All this stuff that's belittling and all the gaslighting. I was just like, wow. So just having my friend hold space for me help me get to the other side. So you don't know how your story, your contributions could help someone else get to the other side, because you just never know. Like, this times there was a time when I was really heavy with getting my YouTube performances on my page, and someone who I didn't even really know visited from church, from Canada. We only met like one time, and like he literally was like, your YouTube saved my life. I did not know what he was going through, and I don't even know what video. And I'm just like, it just goes to show you that you never know who's watching,
right?
And you never know who you're impacting. So just be an example to other people, because at the end of the day, you know, where our attempts are. Our attempts, I would say, should be to make the world a better place.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we can't if we're not right within ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And so looking ahead, right, you know, what are your plans for continuing to promote mental health awareness through your music? You know, do you have any upcoming projects or collaborations we should look out for?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm working on my next batch of singles that are very mental health heavy. I definitely will be going into more deeper struggles, mental skills that I was going through that I've kind of kept under wraps. So right now it's just like, okay, it's time to really share what I've actually been going through. That's been, you know, on the tip of my tongue, but not yet. I haven't said it yet, but you know what I mean? But I know it's like, that's how it is, you know, putting out material is really tough, but I'm working on a new batch of singles. I'm also working on a book.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. I'm working on a book. Like, author's been like ringing in my ears for the past year. So I'm like, okay, it's time. You know what I mean? So now, like, having that time over the weekend and those days off really brought me a lot of clarity for what my desire is to do as far as like concept and also like structure for the book. And it's going to be a spoken word book on my mental health journey, navigating through the mental abuse and pretty much having like the victor mentality, like coming from the victim to the victor. So now that's like, that was like the concept behind the whole book, to also inform other people that they don't have to stay the victim.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the narrative. It's like, yeah, we might be feel like victims, but we are victorious.
Right.
Now that we've gone through the situation, and now that we have the healing and the tools and the knowledge to actually feel like we're enough, you know what I mean? And that we're standing in our power and our victory.
I love that. I love that. I love the fact that you have a book coming out. I love to hear when people are mm-hmm. expressing themselves through writing, because it's so important for us to have more of this content out there, right? Because like you said, you know, you never know who's going to resonate with you, right? There are a million people doing what's seemingly the same thing, but everyone has their own twist to it. They have their own stamp on it. And so, you know, your book could definitely be something that individuals find that they can connect more with because of your personal story. So I'm really excited about that. Definitely let us know when that drops so we can have you back on to talk about that book.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to give you some time to just let the people know, where can we find your music? Where can we find out more about you? You know, Instagram, websites, give us everything.
Yeah, absolutely. My website is also under construction, but I do have my merch on there, which I'm wearing, Fighting for Misfits, Fighting for Cause.
Okay.
So if you guys want to support that, and I have my wristbands also for sale. So that's on my website, www.richvysion.com. So www.richvysion.com. And it's the same on all social media platforms, Rich Vision. So it's RichVysion on IG as well.
Okay, cool. So definitely support our brother here. He has merch, and also to really just get into his music. I think if you guys take the time to listen, you will see like this power that we've been talking about throughout this interview. You guys are going to see it and you guys are going to feel it and understand why what he is doing is so important for the community at large. And particularly, again, I can't emphasize this enough, being a Black man from the community, we don't see too many of us out here talking about mental health to the extent that you are. And so I think that this will hopefully start to change the narrative a little bit within the communities of color, especially with our, you know, our young men, where they can be comfortable talking about their mental health concerns, their issues, and that, you know, that can inspire them to get help, right? Whether it's therapy, group therapy, whatever it is that they might need to assist them and getting to the other side, like you say.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it's powerful.
Yeah. Well, Rich, thank you so much for taking the time to be a guest on the According to RP show, which is part of Black Ivy Media. We, you know, love to have conversations with people in our community who are really being change agents, right? Who are really making a difference in the lives of others. And so I just want to take this time to thank you for being a guest, for sharing your story and for really opening us up to this world, right, of this conscious rap that's focusing on mental health. That seems to be more so where you're grounded, and we appreciate you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story. It's not always I get to share it during these gigs. So just to have that that outlet is very liberating for me to be able to share. So thank you.
And we definitely would love to have you back. You know, once you drop that new music, come back, yes. Talk about it. You drop the book, let's talk about it.
Yes.
But yeah, you're welcome to come back anytime.
Yes. Have you listened to the EP?
The ones that you have performed. I haven't heard anything new yet.
Okay. I'll definitely link you.
Yeah, anything new you have, definitely send it to me.
Absolutely.
I have seen that you've been performing a lot on IG. I've been seeing some of these performances. So kudos to you to be able to get out there again and just share your life, really.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of According to RP. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, and I will talk to you guys next week.